The Mountain Gardener is paid for by Waters Garden Center and is solely responsible for its content.
Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. Thought I'd share. I mean, we are into the spring season. This is the time to be planting trees and shrubs. If you're doing any kind of spring blooming like lilacs and forsythia, you really are, you're behind the eight ball a little bit. It's time to get those in the ground. You want them while they're in bloom or even before they're in bloom, and mainly before we run out. So, you know, we'll have a couple hundred lilacs here, different varieties. And when we're out, it's kind of, we'll have one variety, maybe, if you're lucky, no choices. And then what takes over are the roses. And then what takes over that are the crepe myrtles and then the smoke bush. And there's this rotating seasonal change that happens at a good quality garden center. So you'll see this, whether it's Warner's and Flagstaff or Plant Fair and Payson or us. And it's kind of how we operate. And so you've only got 2 acres to show off the plants. And there's not enough room for everything. So you try to feature things that are showing their best right now. So I wrote an article last week, growing bountiful apples in zone 7. So bite into 7 successes. Here's the 7 things you need to know about growing apples. And it kind of comes down to all fruit trees, but zone 7, that's us, this central highlands. This, once you get up the hill from Black Canyon City, you're coming up to God's country. And now, whether you live in Sedona or Camp Verde or Jerome or Prescott Valley or Cordis or Paulden or Skull Valley, we're kind of all the same, very similar. So yeah, you folks on the east side of the hill, you might be a zone 8. That's Verde River, Camp Verde, Cottonwood, you know, Sedona, you're zone 8. But really, that's just 5 degrees warmer in winter than we are. It's not that big a change. We're all dealing with the same kind of plants. And so maybe you're up in Groom Creek, Seligman, Ash Fork. Okay, this get broadcasts up there. And so that's probably zone 6. That's 5 degrees cooler. You need plants and go down to about 0. We need plants to go down to about 5. And the other side is about 10. It's cold in the winter. You need fruit trees that bloom a little later so they don't get tricked into blooming too soon. That's the secret. And so stay away from those desert. First of all, when radio show or podcast or you're going to Phoenix, you're seeing palm trees, they're talking about citrus. You probably don't want to be buying your fruit trees from there. You need plants that will take our cold. And an orange tree will not do that. It goes down to about mid-20s and then it vaporizes in the cold, but not apples. I featured apples specifically because it's the number one seller. And it's the easiest to grow, most consistent of all the fruiting trees, apples and pears. They're the most consistent at fruiting, setting fruit every single year. And so zone 7 is going to be plants and go down about 10 degrees or so. And so you need to go some serious cold. There and then varieties that bloom late in spring. And I'll mention a couple that they're kind of the top 10 fruit, you know, apples that we find here that produce consistently, they've proven themselves and that are popular. The main thing to watch with all your fruiting plants, they need sun. So location is everything. So they need at least 6 to 8 hours of sun is going to be the secret. If you give them that much, more sun equals more fruit because it's photosynthesis. They're creating all that sun to create all the fruit. So it'll help it with that. And so you need a well-drained soil. So if you're out in that valley area, you know, Paulden, oh, you poor folks, you've got great water table, but boy, is the soil hard. Oh my gosh. And you've got wells that are unlimited in their water. So you tend to grossly overwater things. Just that's not going to make a fruit tree happy, especially apples. They want soil that drains is kind of the key. The way you help with that is you dig a hole that's rich. So you dig a hole that's the same depth as the bucket, 3 times as wide, because all fruit trees, their roots go sideways, looking for nutrients, looking for water and air. They're just searching out sideways, not down. They don't have a taproot. They've got a very fibrous root mass that goes sideways. So if you know that's how they're going to grow, encourage them. So a nice saucer shape, three times the width, same depth. Amend that soil because they like rich soils. Again, drainage is key. They want to be able to breathe at the root level. The way you do that is you introduce compost or mulch. You folks in the Midwest, you said mulch is like shredded bark. No, no, we're talking about a composted material introduced into your soil. It's going to do two things. It attracts more worms. Plants love that. It's going to keep the soil from compressing back down so the roots can get through it. The tree's going to love that. And then it keeps that whole process going so you get a bigger root mass on this plant. You'll get more fruit that way. Also, fruit trees, they need to be at least, I would say apples on average, 6-7 years old before they're old enough to actually start producing fruit. It's a maturity thing. So they just need to be a certain, they got to be at least a teenager, age-wise, as far as trees go, to start producing fruit. They don't do it as a young whip or smaller stage, or they shouldn't. And so about 7 years old is the average age of all the fruit trees we have here at the garden center, because we know folks shopping here, they're not looking for best price. They're looking for something that I don't want to wait. I want it producing this year. I want apples this year now. So sometimes you can find it at a box store for less, but it's a whip. And so it hasn't been at the farm long enough to start producing. It'll be in your yard for 2, 3, 4 years before it's actually old enough to start producing fruit. Watch your age. Then also, never, ever, no matter what, buy a fruit tree with a dog leg, an ugly graft, a bad trunk, because that is a weak link. What will happen is that tree loads up with fruit. That's the weak link. It'll break or fall over or cause issues. Also, it's ugly. So you don't want a dog leg tree. It just has this bend in the trunk. You want to be good looking. As a pretty tree grows, it gets more voluptuous, more beautiful, more the canopy. So ours are a little bit older because we can spend more time on the trunk. We can spend more time on the scaffolding or the structure of the shape of the canopy. So the structure can hold more fruit as it matures. There's some benefits to paying a little bit more for a whole lot more plant in the long term for your yard. Then pick your favorite. Now, most fruit apples specifically, they generally need two. They need a buddy, and they need to cross pollinate, and they can't be the same. You can't have two Honeycrisps or two Golden Delicious or two Galas. They've got to be a Honeycrisp and a Fuji, a Granny Smith and a Pink Lady. You need two different ones to help pollinate each other. A Honeycrisp is not going to cross pollinate a Honeycrisp. It needs a Gala or a Fuji or something else. So think in those terms too. That's why the fruit cocktail trees are so popular for smaller yards. We've grafted honeys, pink ladies, grannies, all on the same tree. So you've got it's pollinating itself. It also takes the pressure off of harvesting. So a bigger tree, you're going to have 5 bushels of apples. What do you do with that? And they got to all be harvested at once. Well, with a fruit cocktail tree, you can harvest the Granny Smiths, then you go for the Fujis, then you go for the Golden Delicious, and they ripen at a sequence. So it takes a little pressure off. So anyway, that's think in terms of what your favorite is, and then think of another one that's a favorite, because you're going to need pollinators to help grow these apples. I'd say, I put it in the article last week, if you want to take a look at this, it's on our website under the blog post. It's been one of the top blogs, the top articles. All of my articles get stored on our website, watersgardencenter.com. If you're looking, you can find it. Google, Alexa, Siri, help me find watersgardencenter.com. It'll find it for you. But here's the most popular. Honeycrisp, number one. Gala, Golden Delicious. Oh, my mouth just watered. Think of the applesauce. Oh, it makes the best applesauce, especially right from the gardens. Fuji. Granny Smiths actually are delicious. They get a bad rap for just being a baking apple, but they are so, if you leave it on the tree for next couple weeks, it just melts in your mouth. Oh, and your mouth's watering again. And it's got a crispness and it lasts a long time, but Granny Smith's a good green apple. Pink Lady and Jonna Gold. Those are your top most popular apples. Again, check a look at watersgardencenter.com for that entire article. We got more for you. Lisa Waters Lane coming in with your garden questions right after this.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Waters Garden companion plants for March are Oklahoma Redbud, Mountain Heaths, Rosemary Creeper, Prescott Pansies, and Fanciful Forsythia.
Fanciful Forsythia is a gorgeous spring shrub that explodes with masses of solar yellow flowers, followed by shiny green leaves.
Every home should have one for sheer beauty, fall color, and gentle natural care.
Shop the brightest spring bloomers in-store or online at watersgardencenter.com in Prescott.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe bees and monarchs are in danger, and we can save them at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
We are back with Lisa Waters Lane. She comes each week with your garden questions. What are people talking about? Gardening is here. The spring season, gardeners have been pent up way too long. It's been too cold, windy, snowy, sleety, and they want to be outside. It's kind of nice to be, you can kind of feel that energy at, on the floor of the garden center. So they're just perusing all 2 acres, looking out, just not because they need fruit trees or berries or fruit flowers or evergreens, or they just want to take it all in and be outdoors.
Definitely.
So welcome to the studio, Lisa.
Thank you. Always good to be back.
So how are your gardens?
I love spring because I love to see things wake up. I love that feeling of it goes from nothing to these beautiful little green leaves coming out, flowers shooting out. I love that feeling.
Waking up.
Yeah.
A spring beginning.
Yes, definitely.
What kind of garden questions we got this week?
Well, speaking of cold and things coming out.
Okay.
So John put in a new, Texas privet in his yard.
Yeah.
It had a lot of new growth on it. It was looking happy.
Yeah.
Well, that little blast of cold.
You saw it coming.
Got
out.
It. So he wants to know, got some damage to it.
Yeah.
Should he trim it back now? Should he wait to trim it back to make sure we're past the cold? And how far do you trim it back?
Yeah, John, so don't worry. Don't stress. The plant knows how to recover by itself. I would say too much intervention from a gardener can do more damage than good. I would wait. See where the leaf buds are. So some of the leaves were sacrificed. It had some black. And frost damage looks like it had tender new growth. And it's so tender and so new that frost came and it's a shock. And so it goes from vibrant green to black. It looks like someone took a big lighter to it, just kind of burned the foliage. That's frost damage. It can happen on more than just privets. It can happen on fruit trees and just whatever, anything new, that brand new growth. And it can happen now through the end of April, really. And so what I recommend is don't overcorrect. Don't try to make it healthier right away. Let it adjust. And so all that energy coming up from the roots of spring, they are still going to keep coming. It might have to re-leaf or rebud some, but if you start cutting on it now, you might take off more than the plant would like. Let's see where that new growth comes. And then in 2, 3, 4 weeks, now go ahead and clean it up, get all those leaves off. So don't feel in a hurry. What you may do, it's going to need some more energy to create the new buds. So it was using last year's, October's fertilizer, last autumn's nutrients to form this spring's leaf buds or flower buds. Now it's going to have to use this spring's energy, food, to create additional leaf buds or flower buds. So you might just want to consider fertilizing. That's the best thing I can tell you. Mm-hmm. If you really want to juice it. If you've already fertilized, great. Use the 744 on privets. That's the magic stuff. It'll make it go. If you've already done that, What you might do is mix up some Root and Grow. It's a compost tea that we make here at the Garden Center. It's liquid. It's like molasses, and it's concentrated. So you put 3 tablespoons in a gallon of water. You might give it a couple gallons, and plants just respond to that. You just take it up. It's in liquid form, like liquid magic, and take up, and it'll just instantly take it right up to where that frost damage is and start to reform leaves. So don't stress out. The only way to recover from that is if you covered it with like a frost cover. That would have possibly, but it went from nice to real cold like instantly. Yeah. So that messes with plants. So that's why at the Garden Center, when you drive by after we close, it looks like ghosts are all over the Garden Center. It's not because the plants would be killed, but we're preventing frost damage on those outer tips. So that it keeps them looking pristine. So customers want to go, yeah, I want to buy one of those. That's pretty cool. So it keeps it looking at 100%. The only way to do that is possibly you threw a sheet over it or something that would have helped protected it probably, but not to worry. It will recover.
It will recover.
No problem. Yes.
All right. Next question is from Sandy. She has a vegetable garden area that she didn't use last year. Good. Just let it sit. She said, but now it's covered in weeds. Yeah. What's the best product to take care of those weeds, to get rid of the weeds?
Yeah. So the best, if it's small, the best is pull them up by hand. Take a hoe and just hoe them up and get them out of there. Because if you spray it with something like Decimate, you can spray that. It's a Roundup alternative. Don't spray Roundup, whatever you do. But Decimate would kill them right away. But you still got to deal with the weeds sitting there, a dead weed or a live weed. If you got to deal with them, just go ahead and pull them up. Take a hoe to them and get them out of there. Those dandelions have one tap root. If you sever it, they're dead. So just get some out of it pretty quick. Rototilling, turning. These are all things that kind of help you. But I would say don't turn in your weeds into the gardens, because those seed that might be forming, or you just turn them into the gardens, so they become a problem 3-4 weeks from now. Yeah. Just take a hoe, get the soils ready, and then turn the soil, getting them prepped, put a 2-3 inch layer of manure on top of that bed, whatever that looks like, turn that into one shovel's depth, water it really well so you neutralize the nitrogen hit that you're introducing into that garden, and then you can start planting. I mean, you could put radishes and carrots and lettuce and broccoli and cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, artichokes. You can put all those things in now. Yeah. And so you're ready to plant in about 2-3 weeks. You could probably, I don't know what Sandy is calling from, but in 2-3 weeks, if you're up in this Prescott area, this central highlands, this is Prescott Valley, Dewey, Humcortis, this area, us, you could probably start planting in 2-3 weeks your tomatoes, cucumbers, eggplants, the leading edge. I just care can be frost, but you can cover them. You can protect them. And plus people are tuned in from the Verde, Yuke, Sedona. Yeah. You all can start planting 2 weeks ahead of us. So you're the end of April. We're the first part of May. So it's time. Get Sandy. Hurry up. Get those gardens ready.
And right now is perfect time just to pull weeds, because the soils are actually fairly really moist, easy. So they do come up pretty easy.
Great thing about Sandy is she let the soil settle or rest. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's diseases that come back over and over and over, like Vertinella wilt on potatoes and tomatoes. If you let it set for a bit, that virus doesn't have the next crop to feed on, so it just comes back and you naturally got rid of it. That's why we rotate crops so often. We're moving we grow tomatoes here this year, then over there next year, so we don't allow these natural bacterial viral things keep going.
Yeah, very true. All right. Our next question is from Darcy. She's in the Prescott Valley area. She says she really wants to put in a red bud, but was a little overwhelmed by all the choices of red bud. Wants to know, is there a difference between them? Is one going to do better in Prescott Valley than not?
Yeah.
What are your recommendations?
Our first house that we ever bought here in Arizona, not our first house. Our first house in California. Mm-hmm. Our second house was here in Prescott Valley off of Pawnee Drive, back when they had dirt roads and septic fields. It was a little tiny town in the early 90s.
That's true.
So I kind of miss that house. So.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty house.
We never thought we could grow as much as we can out there, but the Valley area is amazing on what they can grow. They can grow everything that that Prescott can grow and maybe even a little bit more. It's just that hard clay soil that gets you. With that being said, Darcy, any red bud you want. And I would say start with, do I want a bush or do I want a tree? That's start with that. Because Western red bud's a bush. That's the native one. And then your Eastern red bud is your standard. Your grandparents have grown it. Generations been out there. That's a small tree form. It's up about 15 feet by 12 feet wide. It's nice umbrella shaped. It's beautiful. They all have the heart-shaped leaf, all of them. So next you go by shrub or tree. Then you go by which flower color do you like? And it's all variations of pink. I want light pink. I want dark pink. I want fuchsia. I want pink. Pick the color. And then you go by leaf color. So there's the standard is green. The native one is green foliage, standard green, like shade tree green foliage. But they're coming out with a new like flamethrower. It's got the new growth is red with a tinge of yellow. They've got Merlot, which is bright purple. Pick the leaf color. So go by tree or shrub, then go by what flower color, and then what leaf color, and then just go for it. We've got several choices. We can simplify this a lot for you, but they'll call to you. Pick the one that calls. They kind of woo you and go, take me home, plant me. Take that one. We are out of time. Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, be right back after this.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens. Growing up in Prescott, we knew spring was here when my grandmother's lilacs bloomed. I'm Lisa Waters Lane, and my grandmother would be thrilled with the new Bloomerang Purple Lilacs at Waters Garden Center. They don't just bloom once in spring, they bloom again in summer. Mine bloomed 3 times last year, making spring last well into fall, and just $29.99. Come check out all the heavenly new sights and scents that are making this spring the most beautiful ever. Lilacs like Grandma used to grow and better. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss. Watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Hi, this is Barry. Join me for lunch every Saturday at 12 o'clock for the Prescott Palette. That's every Saturday at 12 o'clock on KQNA, 1130 AM, 95.5 FM, 99.9 FM, and KQNA.com, as well as the mobile app.
We believe no one is a failure who has friends at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with 2 T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
So this week's garden class is on peony, growing better peonies. But I just mention it because I'm teaching a class this weekend. I like peonies. I grow a lot of flowers. I'm actually, if I were to define myself as a gardener, I would define myself as a flower grower. I just love the fragrance, the beauty, the butterflies, hummingbirds, just that sequence. I'm always trying to get them to bloom bigger, bloom again, bloom longer, bloom brighter. So I'm playing with fertilizers and deadheading techniques and pruning and stuff. So it's just kind of a fun thing. And you never tire of it because the seasons, there's always a winter bloomer. There's always a spring bloomer. There's always a summer. You can get something to bloom all 12 months out of the year. And so I like that. Whereas vegetables, that's mainly a summer thing. And then, you know, quite honestly, I get tired of picking tomatoes. Once you have a few bushels of them, it's like, oh man, it's October. Isn't frost ever going to come? And so you just kind of, I know it seems offensive to you vegetable growers, gardeners, but I'm just kind of, I do all the vegetable things. Trees don't, I mean, once they're big, they're done. It's not like an ongoing thing. Trees are once and done kind of stuff. Yeah, you might replace one every once in a while, but it's not, you know, fruit trees might be a little different. Orchards, my property's not big enough for orchard. Definition of an orchard is If you can have over 7 trees or more, you are now an orchard. You have an orchard. If you're 6 trees and under, it's defined as a backyard garden. So there you go. I don't have room for an orchard in my yard. I don't want that many fruit trees. I love fruit trees. I put them in pots. My peach is in a container by the hot tub. I mean, it's just right there. It's so easy. I stand up on the hot tub to pick the fruit or to prune it. So I'm simplified. But flowers, the flower grower. So peonies are a core. Peonies are some of your longest living perennials. The perennials and permanent kind of peas comes back every year. So perennial is it's going to come back. You plant it once, you get years of enjoyment. And so peonies are one of those. I think it's foundational. Peonies grow in full sun to part shade. I say they need at least, I would say, 4 hours of sun to really perform well. Otherwise, the flowers will be smaller or you'll have less flowers. And they have that English, that great big, it's got a baseball size flower, usually doubles. It's many ruffled or feathery type of a flower. Very deep, rich looking, and it's got a fragrance. Oh, my gosh. It smells so good. I love picking them and then floating them, this beautiful crystal bowl that we have that just kind of floats around and shows them off for all to enjoy at the dinner table or wherever. And so they're really good. The secret with peonies, and I've killed several, so it just kind of, this is hard knocks. This is experience. This is how you learn gardening, is by killing things. I hate to say that out loud. But I found I'm up in the Eagle Ridge, you know, Prescott Lakes area here above the high school in Prescott. There it's beautiful vistas. I get to see the dells. It's gorgeous. I get to see all the majesty that happens with the storms that come up those valleys. It's beautiful. But the soil is crazy hard. It's heavy clay soil. And so I killed the first few. We've been in this house for about 20 years. Now, when we killed the first few, I didn't amend the soil enough, or I overwatered, so that soil stayed too wet. And peonies have this real fibrous root mass. If you're real thick, that's what this makes them so not drought hardy, but so robust. Even in the hotter summer months, they still perform well because they got this big fleshy root, kind of like a rhubarb, got something like that, real fleshy. Well, that fleshy root, all that carbohydrates, all the starchy stuff in that root can start to rot. And once that root starts to rot, it is very difficult to get it to recover. And so what causes rotting? Sitting in soil. It's like putting your feet in mud for an hour. It feels pretty good. My skin's so soft. Oh, my wrinkles are gone. But for a day and a half, your skin's falling off. Same with peonies. They don't like that. They like wet, and then they like to dry out. That's a secret. So really, I actually created some raised beds. I've got an Ito peony, which is we grafted an English peony onto a tree peony root, and you get this English peony on steroids. I mean, the flowers are as big as your hand, and you get the funky colors. You get the yellows, and you get the bright colors, and the fragrance is like, again, more intense. And so Ito peony, this is a big peony. It's at least 3-4 feet tall. In this beautiful oxblood red container. It's glorious. It's just beautiful. When it's in bloom, everyone comments. And so you don't have to grow it in the ground. They can be in a raised bed or in a container. They're pretty flexible. But in the ground, make sure that ground drains, or you'll have a garden experience to share on how to kill peonies. And here's how you get them to live. So peonies are pretty easy. Now's the time to put them in. Now you'll get blooms. They're heavily budded and actively growing right now at the garden center. Okay, that's it for this segment. Got Lisa Waters Lane coming up with her segment right after this.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Waters Garden Companion plants for March are Oklahoma Redbud, Mountain Heaths, Rosemary Creeper, Prescott Pansies, and Fanciful Forsythia.
Fanciful Forsythia is a gorgeous spring shrub that explodes with masses of solar yellow flowers, followed by shiny green leaves.
Every home should have one for sheer beauty, fall color, and gentle natural care.
Shop the brightest spring bloomers in-store or online at watersgardencenter.com in Prescott.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
We're back with Lisa Waters Lane. Her segment, her section, her just garden inspiration, just another perspective of gardening. Lisa just puts her garden hat on, her garden gloves. Just love gardeners, those bright hats, those bright gloves. It just screams gardeners.
It does.
So anyway, we're out there and gardening and she just has a good perspective and decades and decades and decades of experience. Just kidding. You're still young and vibrant in my world.
Sure.
37 years. We've been married 37, and we dated 5 years through college. It took me a long time to get through college. 5 years instead of so many kids now. I graduated in 2 years, got my doctorate. That was not me.
It's not fair. I mean, back when we were in high school, you didn't take college classes.
That's true.
I mean, we were free to be kids.
And we didn't have the scholarship programs. The families weren't as rich. I mean, we had to pay our own way. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have 529 plans and grant. I mean, our kids' grandparents helped pay for theirs because they came into money and they just helped. And it was a huge blessing to our kids. So they all graduated from college without debt and they had a car. And now go and launch and be free. That's all you need
from us. And don't come back.
Yeah, don't come back. I find that doesn't work as well. They don't listen so much. When they first launch, it's called a soft launch. They go and then they come back for a little bit and go kind of reset. And they go again. They go out farther and then find that third launch. They are on their own. Mm-hmm. You don't see them as much.
True. Very true.
It's kind of fun. Megan's coming home this weekend. So that'll be kind of one of the kids are coming home to visit. Hasn't been home in couple of years.
So yeah, it's like, ooh, what are we going to do?
I brought
a bunch of plants home to plant.
You know, I got a rental. I got to paint up. Press Chimarella. Have her put her.
Put her to work. She will never come home again.
That's right. They will keep her from getting back. Right. Gardening. That's enough. Gardening. 2 minutes of diatribe.
So speaking of plants to plant, so I brought in for the visual people who are watching.
Candy Tuff.
I brought in Candy Tuff. So Candy Tuff is a great.
Not showing that. It was too white.
The
lighting's like. It's so white, the camera can't even focus on it. It's like we need a white balance or something.
It's a wonderful, actually, evergreen perennial.
Yeah.
Excellent for those rock gardens, those areas out there. Containers, we've had in containers. It's a native ground.
It's a true native. You'll see it floating out there in the rock piles. You'll see this pretty white plant. Mm-hmm. That's it, Candy Tuff.
It's a spring bloomer, but it is a very long spring bloomer. Yeah. So I would say almost went to like May.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to summer. In the entire spring season, Candy Tuff will be in bloom. And then it's got this beautiful green, just mounding kind of 8 inches, 12 inches tall. It's beautiful. Every garden should have a Candy Tuff perennial. Every year it comes back and does this without trying.
Right. Super easy to grow. If you think you have black thumbs, Candy Tuff is a great plant for you.
Sun.
Right.
Not sun, but like full sun, like radiant sun.
So it's another one of those, and probably people get tired of hearing us say this, but we have it now. 3 weeks from now, we're not going to have it because you get grows coming in. So it's available now. We've got it now. It's not one we carry year round.
Nope.
But now is the time to get it. And it is a super low.
We grow a couple hundred of them, and then when that's gone, that is it. That's all you get. And that seems like there's a lot. But we're going to have like 30,000 plus customers come through. That's really not very much. So all the gardeners will begin going, I want something in bloom.
Right.
What can I have? And every cart will have one.
I can't tell you. Every year people come in and go, I want that white flower. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Should have been in 2 weeks ago.
But it wasn't Mother's Day. Well, this blooms way earlier. This blooms when it's still frosty and cold at night. That's why it blooms so long. Because it's blooming. It doesn't get vaporized by the sun.
By the heat. Definitely. Yeah. So another new one that we got in. Now, I've not seen this before. And I'm going to take it home and try it because being a gardener, you got to try all the new stuff right now.
And you've got free labor coming.
So some people might be familiar with this. I truly was not. It's called a Turan Deep Red Saxifrage.
What? Say it again real fast.
I can't. So they call it an alpine plant. So another one that's perfect for our area. It's going to be a spring bloomer. They call it a long. So it's going to spring into early summer. So probably middle May, early May.
Same time as candy top. In fact, they go together really well.
So it looks really pretty. I want to try it because I want to see how it does. But it also comes in, I think there's two different colors, maybe three. So really pretty, something fun to try if you haven't. If all you gardeners that are like, oh, I've seen it, I've done it, I've been there.
Look how cool they look together. Those are you on the podcast. You get it. So those of you just driving down, going to Costco, you should pull over, pull your phone out and take a look at. No, it's pretty. They're beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a candy tuft only in red. So it's got the same mounding pattern. You cannot see the foliage. It is covered in red flowers with a red stamen, red center of the flower, yellow center, but red flowers.
And this one says it's an evergreen as well. So probably very similar to the Canada. Yeah. So yeah, definitely going to try it in my yard, going to try it in a couple different spaces, see which one it likes best. But for those of you that like to try new things, come on down.
Alpine plants. We are alpine. We are, we're just below the tree. We still have trees. So we're not truly alpine, but those kind of plants love growing here. So it's a great choice for, and both of them are about $20. I think, what is this? Not Dusty Miller. Candy Tuft. Iris is, $19.99. This one's $21. So yeah, $20 for beautiful, stunning flowers.
It comes back year after year after year.
Yeah. That blooms for like 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah, definitely. So those were just show and tell. So what I wanted to talk about is some of the new spring flowering trees that we've gotten in that we haven't carried before. So there again, some of you people that want to try something different,
I
probably
don't
got it
neighbors
for you.
God, I want something more fabulous and I want it to glow in the dark.
There you go. So, crab apples do fabulous here. If you want a spring flowering tree that's just gorgeous and tough as nails, crab apple is definitely the one. But we did a couple of new ones. One is called Prairie Rose. So it's a double pink blossom.
Nice.
Gorgeous. It's not going to have any fruit. It's sterile. So no fruit on there to worry about. It's going to get about 18 by 20 tall and wide. So a nice canopy
ornamental
little tree
size
there for you. Yeah. And it puts on a, yellow fall color. So it's nice. You're kind of getting some seasonality out of that.
Yeah.
And you're not having to worry about the fruit.
Prairie Rose.
Prairie Rose. The other one is Sparkling Sprite. This one's smaller, definitely. It's like a 12 by 12.
Oh, nice.
And I think it would
perfect
do fabulous
patio
in containers, great patio tree. So it has a white blossom. The thing about it is it does produce a crab apple, but It's like an ornamental type thing. So it's going to be late summer. It'll put this fruit on. It'll be a yellow color.
Oh,
it's going to turn a dark orange in fall and winter. So you'll have that little crab apple on there after the blossoms or the leaves fade. It'll give you some interest out there with that fruit kind of hanging on there.
So the fruit size, is that like
it's
marble
small
size?
Yeah,
or yeah,
it's small.
Like marble?
Mm-hmm.
Not a shooter, not a keeper, but I don't know my marbles.
Sure. Yeah, whatever. But great for just winter interests. You know, that's always something we're looking for. Spring snow, which I think is its second year, but actually a really cool. It's about a 20 by 20 white blossoms. No, it's sterile as well, but beautiful. My gosh, when it is in bloom, it is a showstopper.
Crab apples, I think, have the brightest of all the flower colors of all the bloomers, from crab apples or red buds to robinias to they just have something about them that's so intense, including the white. It's not just white. It's intense, pure, like purer than bridal white. It's gorgeous.
Very, very pretty. So flowering cherries, which is another group that does fabulous here. We have one called First Blush. This one's a new one. It's a 25 by 12. So kind of tall and narrow. So another great for yards.
Street tree.
Driveway
tree.
Has pink blossoms on it. It has a narrow oval leaf. But the great thing about this tree is it gives you fall color. So you're going to get some orange and red in the fall.
Oh, nice.
So it's another one of those multi-season trees that I just think are fabulous.
So you're out of time, so I got to close it out. So I know you got to keep those. Now's the time to start seeing the trees are blooming here at the Garden Center. You can come and see and smell and touch and feel the trees of your choice. And then trees, they call to you. So they're actually personalities. They've got feelings to them. And they want to go home with you, kind of like puppy dogs. If you're a gardener, you know how to listen to their barking and their meowing. But they want to go home. Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners. Be right back.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website. Podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Growing up in Prescott, we knew spring was here when my grandmother's lilacs bloomed. I'm Lisa Waters Lane, and my grandmother would be thrilled with the new Bloomerang Purple Lilacs at Waters Garden Center. They don't just bloom once in spring, they bloom again in summer. Mine bloomed three times last year, making spring last well into fall, and just $29.99. Come check out all the heavenly new sights and scents that are making this spring the most beautiful ever. Lilacs like Grandma used to grow, and better. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it, too.
We believe in rising early, working hard, and the fruits of our labor at Waters Garden Center.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
So we're into spring. Plants, you're seeing blooms, all of them. My daffodils are in bloom. Winter blooming jasmine's almost done. I mean, it's been in bloom for a month and a half. So your Linton rose or what's the other name for that? Anyway, hellebores. They've been in bloom for weeks and weeks, and it kind of compounds like a snowball. It just gets more and more and more. And the trees accentuate the peak of spring. So when you see the trees in bloom, you know it is, there's no holding things back. It's going. And so you've had your purple leaf plums in bloom for at least 2 weeks, maybe more. Depends on your elevation, and it really depends on your exposure, east, south, north, west. Just your east side will bloom earlier. Your north side's going to bloom a little later by up to 2 weeks. That concerns folks in neighborhoods. Going, oh, my neighbors, their peaches, their cherry trees, their purple leaf plums, their red buds are in bloom. Mine aren't. What's going on? What'd I do? Might just be theirs are in a sunnier location. And so the sun, some of these are programmed to have so many sunlight, you know, so many 10 hours of sun, boom, just go. Or temperature, soil temperature specifically. So the soil temperature on the east side of gardens are going to be warmer. North side, it's going to be chilly. That's why the snow sits around so long on the north side. Well, that affects the cycle. So you'll see some of that. And so we start here in the mountains really with the cherries. There's a native cherry tree. It's white, that blooms. It just kind of sets the goal, sets the tone. It's now spring. Foomp, it goes. Purple leaf plums. This is a pink blooming flowering tree right now. It comes up next, almost right afterwards. So within, I would say a week to 10 days after our native, cherry trees or flowering cherries bloom, they actually will start producing. They don't actually produce fruit, but just pretty. I think it's got an orange color in the fall, whereas purple leaf plum blooms pink, and then the foliage is purple, and it stays purple right through fall. Then it's deciduous, so it loses its leaves. Right now, I notice this week, the Bradford pears, or ornamental pears. Actually, there's a lot of varieties. So Bradford pear is the one that your grandparents grew. This is not doesn't produce fruit. It's an ornamental, so it's for the flower, same pair of flower, which are white, clusters of them. And it puts on a kind of a silver dollar-sized leaf, very glossy, pretty glossy green leaf. The red color of fall is spectacular as well. It's the last tree to turn red in the fall of the year. So ornamental pears, they can be real big, though. So they kind of get, 30 by 30, almost too big for some yards. So we've introduced several varieties that are same height, but narrow. Actually, there's some that are actually jack pears. So jack flowering pears are 10 by 10, actually 10 by 8. It's real small, dwarfed. But we're trying to grow more of them that are don't get as wide. So you get the same white flower, same pretty glossy leaf, but now like capital pear gets 30 feet tall, but only 12 feet wide. Well, now all of a sudden you can put that next to the driveway and it's not going to impede your truck coming or your RV getting down the driveway. And so we've got several like that. So chanticleers, there's quite a few, but that just opened just this week. And so now is a good time to plant those and put them in the ground. Crab apples will be next. So that'll probably be next week. So they usually bloom in April sometime through April through May is when they bloom. And there's a lot of variety. And crab apples have the brightest colors, the purples. There's no tree that turns true purple like crab apple does, or red, bright, intense red, not a muted pink. We're talking about red or white that's so intense. It almost glows in the dark. It's so white. And then after that, you've got, red buds will be in bloom probably by about the time red buds bloom, crab apples are in bloom, that kind of. So we're into the peak of the spring season at that point. Red buds are native. So you've got this beautiful heart-shaped leaf. If you've never seen a red bud, welcome to the Southwest, because this is where they grow wild. So there's a Western or Mexican red bud that grows at different elevations. So if you've ever been to Lake Powell and gone to the arch halfway up the lake, so underneath the arch, literally right there underneath the arch or right at the base of the arch, there's a Western red bud sitting there growing just in bloom in spring. It's spectacular, just wild by itself. I think Lake Powell's at about 4,000 elevation, something like that. By the time you hike up to the arch, it's probably at 4,000. It grows wild at all these elevations. It loves growing here. Very drought hardy. They're native. I would say they naturalize very easily. Well, their shrub form. Sometimes you don't want a shrub. You want an actual tree in the middle of the driveway in that island area that's not too big, but not too small, but really pretty. So now you've got tree-formed lilac or red buds. So it's going to be eastern red buds or the one your grandparents grew. It's kind of light pink, kind of like a candy apple pink. It's that. Same heart-shaped leaf. So it's almost as big as your hand, heart-shaped. And its fall color is gold. It's very pretty, very robust. You wouldn't think it'd be that hardy with such a big leaf, but it is, because the root structure is massive. We're introducing more varieties for a brighter pink. We started growing, I'd say the number one seller right now still is Oklahoma redbud, because it's got the same tree as your eastern redbud, same exact tree. The leaf is the same, the fall color is the same, but the pink flower is intense. I mean, like it's really deep pink. So we bred it for the flowers. Now we're introducing that same flower with different foliage colors. And so for tree form, so you've got Merlot, same flower as the Oklahoma redbud, but now it's got red foliage. Same size leaf, still almost as big as your hand, heart-shaped, but the new growth is red. It's spectacular. The fall color, I believe, is orange on that one. Then we've got Flamethrower. The new growth comes out red, and the growth behind it is yellow, so it looks like a flamethrower. It's really cool. Equally as hardy. Same bright flower, that Oklahoma redbud flower, but we're playing with or breeding the foliage is changing. So you got, so they do so well here. I think every yard should have a redbud. Now the question is, which variety is best for you? They're not too big. So all of them, even a big, the biggest varieties, maybe 18 feet with some maturity by 12 at most, maybe 10 feet, 12 feet. Let's say mid-teens by about 10 feet wide is pretty normal for a mature, like
like 10 years from now, mature, it's never going to get much bigger than that and easy to maintain, easy to water, easy to care for. You can't kill it. So red buds are next. Then after the red buds, I went on too long about red buds because I'm excited about them. It's one of those new trees you get to play with. Robinia or purple robe locust, it starts blooming usually about Mother's Day. It's when it's in full bloom. So if you love to have moms over and celebrate the backyard and you just that first big garden party, you want something to bloom about then, plant a purple robe locust. It's got big wisteria kind of blossoms that drop down. I've grown them at all elevations. The most famous ones, I don't know why, probably because there's just so many of them out there, is Prescott Valley. You all grow purple robe locusts like I've never seen. They're going to get about 35, 40 feet tall by about 15, 18 feet wide. It's kind of, it's a true shade tree. But when it's in bloom, the wisteria blossoms just are just magnificent. People stop and go, what is that? I got to have one. But purple robe locusts, locusts have smaller leaves and rows of them. So it makes them very efficient for their water use. And when the leaves drop in the fall, they just blow away. Not as much cleanup. They just, I don't know where the wind takes them, but it just takes them away. It's quite nice. I'd say most of these spring bloomers, too, the beauty with a spring blooming type of tree is the flowers generally are smaller. So magnolias might be a little different. They've got bigger. So we do grow quite a few magnolias. There's several series that are hardy up here, but the flowers are a little bigger. They're not generally messy because they don't put on so many flowers. Crepe myrtles, smaller. Lilac, smaller. Redbud, smaller. Crabapple, smaller flowers. They just wisp away. There's just hardly any cleanup. Even if you've got rock, it's pretty easy to care. Okay, that's it for this. I'm going to be right back. Got to take a break for this.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to the Mountain Gardener.
Waters Garden companion plants for March are Oklahoma Redbud, Mountain Heaths, Rosemary Creeper, Prescott Pansies, and Fanciful Forsythia.
Fanciful Forsythia is a gorgeous spring shrub that explodes with masses of solar yellow flowers, followed by shiny green leaves.
Every home should have one for sheer beauty, fall color, and gentle natural care.
Shop the brightest spring bloomers in-store or online at watersgardencenter.com in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss. Watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe searching Waters plants is better than a Google search. At Waters Garden Center,
you've tuned in to the Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
I just love spring and being a garden center owner during the spring season. It's like the ultimate gardener's aphrodisiac. It just gets so exciting. Just every time deliveries come in, and they only get better as the season progresses, you just open up those doors and go, wow. If you just need some fresh air and you want to be inspired, you don't have to buy anything. Just come and peruse. Bring your dog. We've got someone that brings his parrots just to get some fresh air and see what the new things are out there. Just how it just inspires you. It just goes, I live in a four season climate and I love it. There's a reason I like the all four seasons of the year. Now we're into spring. The garden center is alive and, and growing. So the evergreens, they've got new growth coming out. So they're not just evergreen. They now got bright Kelly green. You can see the new growth. You can see they're alive. They're just, you're going, wow, that's inspiring. And then you've got things are in bloom. All the trees are in bloom. The perennial flowers of spring, they're in bloom. They're in cap. They're just right there. You're going, wow, the peonies are growing almost like 3 inches a day. I mean, they're waking up going, there's no holding me back. I want to bloom. Let's go. And so you just see things growing so much. It's inspirational. I mean, it just makes me feel better as a human being, but especially as a gardener. After 32 years, I still love going to work every day. I like talking to gardeners. So here's something that you're hearing a lot of. And let me just disprove this myth. And a buddy of mine who's sold his business for $1 billion, retired, having a good time, good friend. He's going, oh, I just hear all these bad things about trying to find the right employees. They're just so hard. Everyone's whining, complaining. That's all you hear. I'm going, not here. I think good companies where people want to go to work every day, they provide the right environment. First of all, you got to pay well. Okay, that's it. So we're paying way above average. And we have the environment where people just love coming to see. We hire gardeners. And it's exciting to see those what's coming out. And gardeners shop here. And so gardeners are a delight to play with, to help, to guide, to give guidance. And so if the negative is you've always got, I call it the knucklehead factor. There's always that one customer a day that's just off. They're just off. And so they can spoil the entire day for the entire team. One person can destroy an entire team. So part of my goal is intervene. Don't let the a-hole take over the, I don't care how upset you are. You don't treat my people like that. So I go, I defend our team because all the gardeners after that are affected by that one neg. So we protect them, but we have too many applications. It was too easy. We've got great talent. I've never seen such talent wanting to work at a retail garden center than this year. We are not complaining. It is not difficult, but I think great companies do that. Poor companies that aren't good at that, they're the ones whining, complaining. Of course, that makes a news story. So anyway, I don't know why I went off on that. Sorry, I didn't mean to be a downer, but I think not everything in the news is real. I think that everything in the news is real, but it's not the whole story. Here's some of the other stories from a local gardener, local business person that still loves going to work every day and playing with team members that love doing the same thing. Okay, garden class. This weekend, gardening for peonies. Next week, the first week of April, first Saturday at 9:30, lilacs in a better fragrant garden. That's going to be, lilacs are going to be big. That'll be an important one. That'll be a popular one. And then the biggest one of the year, vegetable and herb gardens. That'll be April 13th. It'll be standing room only. It's time to put the veggie gardens in. And we're trying to get that weekend after. That week after will be really full swing. But we'll gear up the garden center with more tomatoes, all the veggies will be here by then. So April 13th. Take a look at the entire class list at watersgardencenter.com. There's a big class button right there on the front page. Throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center. We love talking to fans of the show.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week at the same time as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. You can find him throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located at 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Mountain Gardener on the talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Growing up in Prescott, we knew spring was here when my grandmother's lilacs bloomed. I'm Lisa Waters Lane, and my grandmother would be thrilled with the new Bloomerang Purple Lilacs at Waters Garden Center. They don't just bloom once in spring, they bloom again in summer. Mine bloomed 3 times last year, making spring last well into fall, and just $29.99. Come check out all the heavenly new sights and scents that are making this spring the most beautiful ever. Lilacs like Grandma used to grow and better. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Airtime for The Mountain Gardener was paid for by Waters Garden Center, and they were solely responsible for its content.